the national.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is Prince Nestor sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. An Olympic author is against holding this year's Tokyo Games because of the COVID-19 pandemic. Yao Ofosulabi reports from Accra, Ghana.
There have been several questions about the Olympic Games this year, topical of which has been the question of whether the Games will be staged this year in Tokyo as already planned by an International Olympic Committee. The Tokyo Olympics will top the agenda when the International Olympic Committee's executive board meets later on this week. But with the board firmly backing the event, any talk of scrapping it altogether due to the COVID-19 pandemic is highly unlikely. With less than 6 months to go until the troubled games are due to start, the board will instead tackle questions over the vaccination of athletes, international visitors, and the attendance of spectators. I spoke to a professor of political science at the Pacific University in Oregon, Jules Boykoff. Boykoff has written 4 books on the Olympic Games and says going ahead with this year's games would be a bad idea.
It's alarming that the International Olympic Committee and local organizers in Tokyo are seriously considering pressing ahead with the Olympics amid a global health pandemic. It really shows us a lot of things. One is that money talks when it comes to the Olympics. There's a lot of money at stake here. So I think cancellation is the appropriate course, given that we're in the middle of a global health pandemic, and given that the Olympics are essentially an optional sports spectacle, not some essential service to humanity.
Professor Boykoff has huge knowledge in the Olympic Games and how it's staged, and says athletes need to be at the forefront of the decision-making process and believes it might impact negatively on the athletes if it goes ahead.
The International Olympic Committee was saying that they were not going to cancel or postpone the games. In fact, they were saying that they wouldn't even utter those words in their meetings, which was incredibly reckless and irresponsible, were it not for athletes who stood up, starting in Canada, and saying that they were not going to go to the Olympics if they were held in Tokyo in the summer of 2020. We would be probably still looking at the IOC pushing ahead with it. So it took the courage of athletes to stand up and say these games should be postponed. And we might need to see a similar bout of courage from athletes to say that these Olympics should be canceled. There's a lot of disagreement among athletes right now as to how to proceed. There's a lot of questions that athletes are asking about how will we live in the Olympic Village? Will we be forced to live with other people from other countries? They deserve our respect, obviously, for their athletic prowess, but they also deserve our sympathy in this incredible moment.
Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga is sticking to his government's commitment to host the games, with officials last week dismissing reports that Tokyo had abandoned hope of holding the event this year. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fosulabi in Accra.
Thanks, Yao. I'm Prince Nestor, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. Still on the African beat, some African football analysts have been suggesting ways to make the African Nation Football Championship lucrative. The CHAN tournament is for players playing their trade in domestic leagues, and Cameroon is hosting the 6th edition of the tournament. Emeka Enyadike is a Johannesburg-based African football analyst, and he spoke to reporter Mike Mbonyi on how to make the tournament marketable.
I think the secret to ensuring that the CHAN can become viable is to first make the CAF Confederations Cup and especially the CAF Champions League viable. Once those two are, then the players will become more known, And when they show up at CHAN, everyone knows who they are. I think part of the problem is that there hasn't been a good deal of marketing in those CAF club competitions. So what happens then is that when people watch the CHAN, they're watching African teams with players that are not very well known. Some of them do, who play for the teams that constantly make it to the final rounds. People recognize them a little bit. And then, of course, people who play for Morocco and a few other countries who still rely on players based in Africa, obviously some of the players are known. In some cases, however, the difference is when it's AFCON, the players, a lot of them come from Europe and they're very well known. Marketing is going to be the key for CAF to make that a reality.
How would you rate the quality of the African Nations Football Championship so far? And how should the tournament be placed alongside the African Cup of Nations on the development structures of African football?
I think the quality has been very good. So far, some really extraordinary goals and, you know, great deal of passion. I think because over the last year, and I would say because of the pandemic, the players haven't had the opportunity to showcase their talent. So they see this tournament as a good shop window for them to be seen by clubs in Europe. Because let's face it, despite CAF's attempt at creating a tournament for players who are playing in Africa, they all still have one underlying goal, which is to go play in Europe. So every tournament of this nature, and you know, I've been to CHAN before. I couldn't attend this one, but I was in Rwanda in 2016 for the CHAN, and it was explosive. And so far, we've seen some real good football, and it says a lot about why African countries actually should be giving players who play on the continent a chance with the national teams. It's been good so far, great tournaments, and you know, to place alongside AFCON on the development style scale. I still think that the idea of CHAN is not something that should be promoted far too much, because it's still held back by a lot of the factors I listed earlier. But I think CAF should be investing more in the club championship. We need to put some more resources, some more promotion around the CAF Champions League in particular, because those teams where the players spend most of their time, you know, will also help to ensure that more and more African players rather play in Africa than go play for some far-flung countries in around the world, and also in Europe that maybe do not have the same standards as the African countries.
Do you see European scouts leveraging on the African Nations Championship to boost their team list?
Absolutely. I must say that the CHAN is a big deal for European agents and scouts, because without this, they'll have to travel around the continent to look at players. Now they have the best players selected from all the countries in Africa who qualify for the tournament, showcasing in one venue. It saves them a lot of money. It also enables them to see the players, especially the teams that progress in the tournament. They can see them in four or five games. So it's just like manna from heaven for a lot of the scouts and the clubs in Europe. So absolutely, it's what it is for them.
Those African football analyst Emeka Enyedike and the spoke with reporter Mike Mbonye on phone from Johannesburg, South Africa. Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta dedicated his side's Premier League win over Southampton to their absent Gabon talisman Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, who missed the game for personal reasons. The Gunners made light of their star striker's absence as they continued their excellent run of league form by coming from behind to beat the Saints 3-1 in an eventful game. Stuart Armstrong put Southampton ahead from a wonderful delivery by captain James Ward-Prowse, but the lead lasted just 5 minutes as Ivorian speedster Nicolas Pepe equalized with a neat finish. England winger of Nigerian descent Bukayo Saka put the Gunners ahead before picking out Lacazette to seal the points. Arsenal were reportedly close to signing attacking midfielder Martin Odegaard from Real Madrid on loan, have taken 16 of the last 18 points on offer in the Premier League, surging up to 8th place in the table. Here is Mikel Arteta's take on the match.
I think we were really good right from the start, created a chance straight away with Laka, one against one with the keeper. We conceded a goal from a corner and we reacted straight away. I think we were really good on the ball, we improved a lot our build-up phase in our own half against them, the way they press. So we got out of trouble and created some big chances through that. Our pressing was excellent. When we have to defend deeper and manage the game a little bit, going after 3-1 up, we did it as well. We were good in the break, so I think overall it was a strong performance.
There was Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta praising his team after a magnificent performance against Southampton. Both teams are back in Premier League action on Saturday, with Southampton hosting Aston Villa, while Arsenal hosts Manchester United and the Emirates.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. A first half brace by Ilkay Gundogan helped send Manchester City top of the Premier League in a 5-0 drubbing of West Bromwich Albion at the Hawthorns on Tuesday night. The visitors wasted no time taking the lead, turning their early pressure into a goal from Gundogan before Joao added the second in the 20th minute. Gundogan added his second of the game on the half hour to take his tally on the season to a personal Premier League best of 7. Before Algerian playmaker Riyad Mahrez added further gloves to the scoreline in first half stoppage time. The 2016 African Footballer of the Year later squared the ball across the West Brom goal mouth for the easiest of tap-ins for Raheem Sterling. City's team manager Pep Guardiola had nothing but praise for his forwards.
Yeah, really good. What we want is a movement in the right moment, and what we want is move the ball more than our movements. But it's true that the right tempo, the right moment, our players make the movements were so good, especially up front.
There was Manchester City's coach Pep Guardiola praising his team's thrashing of relegation-threatened West Brom at the Hawthorns. The result put City up to 41 points from 19 matches, one ahead of second-place Manchester United. We'll be looking to extend the unbeaten run to 14 matches in the Premier League by overcoming bottom side Sheffield United on Wednesday night. Everton play their first Premier League game in more than 2 weeks when they host Leicester City, while Chelsea's newly appointed manager Thomas Tuchel is expected to be in the dugout at Stamford Bridge for Wednesday's Premier League meeting against Wolves. The Blues appointed the former Paris Saint-Germain tactician as their new manager on an 18-month contract, with an option to extend it, after firing club legend Frank Lampard after 18 months in charge, following a run of one win in 5 league matches. Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola welcomed the new Chelsea boss while describing him as exceptional.
Yeah, welcome. He's an exceptional manager, so I'm pretty sure he will have success. Happy to see him here. An exceptional manager. He's an exceptional manager, so I'm pretty sure he will have success. Happy to see him here in this country. When I was in Bayern Munich, I played against him in the Mainz, and the second or last season in Dortmund, he make an incredible job. The way Dortmund played that season was outstanding. We fought a lot as a Bayern Munich to win that title. And as a friend of mine, I'm happy to see him.
That's Manchester City manager Pep Guardiola offering a warm welcome for Chelsea new manager Thomas Tuchel, who becomes the 11th full-time manager appointed by Chelsea owner Roman Abramovich since the billionaire bought the club in 2003. The German takes charge of Chelsea barely 5 months after guiding Paris Saint-Germain to their first Champions League final. He won 2 league titles, the French Cup and the French League Cup with the Parisians.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa. on the next Straight Talk Africa. The deadly coronavirus is spreading across Africa, causing anxiety and fear. Join me, Lino Moudou, and a panel of experts to answer your questions about COVID-19 and to distinguish myth from fact on a special edition of Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. As the International Olympic Committee prepares to roll out vaccinations for athletes scheduled to compete in the upcoming Tokyo Games, for one group of Olympic athletes, inoculations are already underway. My VOA colleague Gwen Oten has more. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Prince Nesta. On Monday, the World Health Organization held a news conference from their headquarters in Switzerland, where officials told reporters Olympic athletes should not receive priority access to the coronavirus vaccine ahead of healthcare workers and the elderly. However, some athletes scheduled to compete in the Paralympic Games have already begun to receive vaccinations against COVID-19. An International Paralympic Committee spokesman, Craig Spence, tells Reuters those competitors have been given priority because they're part of a vulnerable population.
There will be many athletes who come to the Games next year who have been vaccinated before the opening ceremony, which puts us in a much stronger position. I've seen British Paralympians been vaccinated because they're seen as vulnerable members of society. I've seen some athletes, I think, in Israel have been vaccinated. So I'm seeing here, there and everywhere on Twitter various athletes tweeting about the fact that they've received a vaccine. So we're aware that many Paralympians around the world are already in line to get the vaccine, either have either had it or are in line to get the vaccine in the coming weeks and months.
With a little less than 6 months to go until the start of the Tokyo Games, organizers have had to do some damage control to quell rumors that the upcoming Games will be scrapped yet again. The Japanese government, Olympic organizers, and the IOC insist the event will go on as scheduled despite the pandemic. More than 11,000 athletes are expected to compete this summer, and IOC President Thomas Bach has said, although competitors are encouraged to get a vaccine, it will not be mandatory. Craig Spence says with organizers not relying on a vaccine for successful summer games, he is prepared for a worst-case scenario.
The worst-case scenario is that no athlete in the world attending the games is vaccinated ahead of the games. If we can build a plan that delivers the games with that parameter, then we're in a much stronger position if, say, half the population who come to the games has been vaccinated.
IOC executive board members will meet on Wednesday to discuss preparations for the upcoming games, and Olympic organizers are due to announce new guidelines in the coming weeks that will outline safety protocols in Tokyo this summer. Craig Spence says he hopes the measures will ease the concerns of athletes and the wider public as plans move ahead.
Now you'll start to see a change of approach from all the stakeholders involved, and we'll start communicating this is how we will organise the games. And I think that's been missing because we've been so busy planning. I think we're in a much better position than I think the public believes we are. And it's important now that we communicate this to the world so they realise that we've not sat on our hands for the last 10 months. We've actually developed a very robust plan, which we believe can ensure that the games can be delivered in a safe and secure manner this summer.
In an effort to offset a resurgence in coronavirus cases, the Greater Tokyo region is currently under a state of emergency that is in effect through February 7th. A recent survey showed 80% of those polled in Japan think the Tokyo Olympics should be delayed again or canceled altogether. However, Thomas Bach has reiterated there is no reason whatsoever for the Olympics not to open on schedule. The Tokyo Olympics are set to begin on July 23rd, and the Paralympics will kick off 1 month later on August 24th. And that is all from me, Prince Nesta. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. 2010 Grand Slam champion Rafael Nadal says he feels quote-unquote privileged to be playing in this year's Australia Open, as he called on his fellow stars to have a wider perspective on the mandatory quarantine period ahead of the tournament. The Spaniard, like every competitor from overseas, is having to isolate with his support team for 2 weeks after arriving in Australia, with practice time limited to only a few hours a day. He's doing so in Adelaide, with a number of other high-profile stars including Serena Williams and Novak Djokovic. However, following a number of positive COVID-19 tests on chartered flights into Melbourne, Nadal's experience has been different from the 72 players not allowed to leave their hotel rooms for the duration of the isolation, prompting a series of complaints about their situation and lack of practice time ahead of the tournament.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation. Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. 10-man AC Milan were knocked out of the Coppa Italia at the quarterfinal stage by city rivals Inter after a dramatic encounter at San Siro. Milan took the lead in the first half as Zlatan Ibrahimovic finished neatly off the far post. But it all seemed to come crashing down when the Swedes saw red after a second yellow card. Inter then got a penalty in the second half as Nicolo Barella threw himself to the floor and Belgian star of Congolese descent Romelu Lukaku dispatched it. The Belgian was lucky to stay on the field after he and Ibrahimovic clashed before the break and Lukaku pursued him down the tunnel. Christian Eriksen's late free kick could be enough to win the game for the Nerazzurri, putting them in the semi-finals where they will face either Juventus or Spal.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny for more details and comments on sports around the world. Once again, the address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Moving on to more athletics news, the Boston and Chicago marathons are planned for back-to-back days in 2021. Boston, the world's oldest marathon, which is normally held on the third Monday of April, is now slotted for Monday, October 11th, while the Chicago Marathon was already scheduled for Sunday, October 10th, its usual fall weekend. Never before have these two large and iconic marathons been held on consecutive days. Both the Boston and Chicago marathons were not held as in-person events in 2020 due to the pandemic, although both offered remote or virtual participation. When they were last held in 2019, Boston recorded 30,349 finishes and Chicago recorded 45,962. They are respectively the third and second largest marathons in the United States, after the New York City Marathon, which recorded a world record 53,627 finishers in 2019. That event was also cancelled in 2020, although a virtual race did take place. One thing that is important to note is that all of these dates should be considered tentative, depending on the trajectory of the pandemic and rates of vaccination.
Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
I'm Prince Nesta, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. On to some basketball news. Indiana Pacers guard Caris LeVert is expected to make a full recovery after undergoing cancer surgery on his left kidney. LeVert, who was acquired in the four-team trade that sent James Harden to the Nets and Victor Oladipo to the Rockets, will remain out indefinitely. The small mass on his kidney was discovered during a team physical and medical tests prior to that trade being finalized. The Pacers' front office has planned to support him and stick by him throughout the process with no time frame set on his return. In staying with basketball news, Tuesday marked the anniversary of a tragedy that shocked us all and seemed to signal the start of a very difficult year. Just a year ago, we had the news that basketball icon Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gigi, along with several others, had lost their lives in a helicopter crash. The death sent intense shockwaves throughout the sports world, and a collective mourning began for lives taken far too soon. Bryant was an 18 all-time star, won 5 NBA championships, and spent the entirety of his 20-year career with the Los Angeles Lakers. Here are some tributes to the Lakers legend that have surfaced on social media a year later. Legendary American rapper Ice Cube tweeted, and I quote, "We all miss you, Kobe Bryant. I can't believe it's been a year since we lost you. Mamba forever." Former NBA player, regarded as one of the greatest and most influential basketball players of all time, Allen Iverson tweeted, and I quote, "Long live Mamba. Miss you, bro." NBA legend Bill Russell tweeted, and I quote, "I've retyped this post so many times trying to find the words, but I just can't find the ones to describe this feeling because it's still unimaginable. Janine and I are thinking and praying for Vanessa, the girls, Kobe's parents, and the other families that lost their loved ones." End of quote. Basketball great Magic Johnson tweeted, and I quote, "Thank you, God, for allowing me to enjoy Kobe Bryant for 20 years. As a great basketball player, athlete, husband, father, philanthropist, mentor, and teacher of the game to many men and women of all ages. Best friend to Rob Pelinka and brothers to Jeannie Buss." While quoting Kobe Bryant, NFL quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks Russell Wilson tweeted, and I quote, "The most important thing is to try and inspire people so that they can be great in whatever they want to do. Kobe and Gigi, you have inspired people all over the world. We miss you. We love you. Hashtag Mamba forever." Major League Baseball player Trevor tweeted, and I quote, "Kobe Bryant will forever be the reason why baseball players think they are also basketball players. Thank you for the legacy you left behind, Kobe. You are missed." End of quote. And that wraps up the January 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Mokbilia Barrow, and thank you for tuning in. I'm Prince Nesta, sitting in for Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
get it?